Good morning and welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Brian Byers, your host, Kevin Burhaney, alongside Mike Shannon, legendary Cardinals broadcaster. We're here at spring training at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium here in Jupiter. They've added a little extra to the title. Always good to spread a little money around, right?
We'll take it.
all right. How many years broadcasting Cardinals baseball?
It's too many to count.
Too many to count?
Yeah, I started in 1972, so you figure it out.
Okay, and do you still enjoy it the same way you did back?
Well, I wouldn't be coming if I didn't.
Yeah, you don't have to, right?
Well, the great thing about this position, and trust me, the person that sits in this position is not important, but the position is extremely important, okay? And I take that into account every day. And the people that have come before me, okay, and that will come after me, this is an unbelievable job. But do I pay attention to it? You're darn right I do. And I pay attention to the people that are listening. And I really learned that about 10 years ago because everybody say, are you going to continue to do this? Or you want they really want to hear you, okay, and they want you to stay. And so I started paying a lot more attention to it when that came very evident to me.
What do you think about the great Cardinal history in broadcasting? I mean, what a pedigree, right? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah. When you see the people that have come before, and there'll be the same people that come after you. Trust me, because this job it just draws them to it because it's probably the best job in the business, plain and simple. And I think the TV is going to be, especially for the broadcasters, is going to be downgraded, not as far as not downgraded. That's not the proper word. The proper word would be it's not going to be the position of the past, okay? It's going to become a national situation,
sure.
Not a local one. In other words, they're going to be national broadcasters instead of the local guy that's been there for 40 years or 50 years.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear you say that about radio, though. I mean, when you think about, you know, when Vin Scully steps down, mm-hmm. You think about, do we have that next generation of broadcasters?
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be difficult because the broadcaster of today, he started in television rather than radio. Now, you take Vince Coleman's, okay, or you take Vince from out in the West Coast, or any one of the TV broadcasters,
sure.
You ask them where they started. They
started
in radio.
That's exactly right.
And they learned the game in radio, okay? And the game of baseball is made for radio and vice versa. Now, football, it's just the opposite. I think football is a television game, You can watch it and you can see what the inner defense does and the inner offense does. The guys like Munoz, if you wanted to isolate on Munoz, you'd see one of the greatest players in the history of the business, okay? But that's a television and that's football. Now, radio and baseball are married. They're together.
Hey, I read Joe Buck's book last year, and he pays you a great compliment. It's particular on how well you treated his father in the later years and how great you were to him.
Well, let me tell you something about Joe Buck. Joe Buck is probably the greatest. He has the greatest ability. Here's a young man that had the best two jobs in the business at the same time. No one else in the history of broadcasting has done that. Joe Buck had the best baseball broadcast. He had the best football broadcast at the same time.
Right.
That's how talented he is. Where'd he start?
Radio. Yep. And now he's doing golf on top
of
all
yeah,
of that.
I mean, yeah. Well, he can do anything, okay?
Yeah.
Now, his father had a phenomenal talent, okay? But he's nowhere close to Joe's talent in my estimation, okay? Joe is one of the most talented people. I mean, he can even answer that telephone.
Yeah, exactly. At the same time. At the same time.
Do you remember him sitting in the studio next to you as you two were doing the game and he was over there playing?
Oh, yeah.
The recorder?
But I mean, he paid attention, okay? And he, everybody said, well, he was born with a golden spoon.
Sure.
And so, no, forget that. What he did in this business, he earned. He earned it. Every bit his own, okay?
He might have been born with golden DNA, right?
Yeah, well, that's true, okay?
Yeah. I remember when I started in 1996, the first big thrill in broadcasting for me was when you guys would recognize the local affiliates and you got your name read on the air by Jack Buck. I still remember that moment as having goosebumps. That's how legendary.
Well, let me tell you something. When you think of Cardinal baseball, we have over 120 stations on our network, okay? And I have people that would come to me years ago say, oh, I listen to you. These guys would be in a ship off of Cape Horn.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the guys in Iowa, they have their computer in the combine, and they're listening to the game off the computer. Or I have a general that was in Afghanistan, and he called me one day. I have a phone in the booth, my red phone, and it rings, and I pick it up. It's, General, how you doing? Ah, fine. I've got. He said, I have you guys. For the troops, he had us piped into his sound system over there, and all the troops were listening. I can remember 1968. We went to Japan after the World Series, and I went to see the soldiers that were injured in Vietnam, and they would ship them to Tokyo. Okay, and so I visited the troops in Tokyo. Visited this one guy, and he said, "Hey, Mike, back on July the 12th or something," he said, "you were playing Cincinnati," and I said, "We were in the jungle, and a firefight broke out." And he said, "The last thing I remember is here comes the pitch, and boom, boom, you know." So he said, "What happened to that game?" I said, "Well," I said, "I don't know." He remembered the date because that's sure. The day he got shot. But so I said, "Here, write your name down and your address, and I'll get the broadcast the tape, and I'll send it to you," because I didn't remember what happened. But he needed closure, you know. He was out there in the jungle, and the firefight breaks out, and he had no closure. He said, "Here comes the pitch." That's the last thing he remembered. I didn't know, so I sent it to him.
How rewarding is it for you to know, and I know you're gonna take this in a very humble way, but you're a legend now. I mean, you're an icon in St. Louis. I mean, you're as big as Stan Musial and Jack Buck. And to know that, and you've got to feel really good about all
well,
that.
It makes you pay more attention, okay? That's what it does, all right? Because you know that people are listening, and they want you to do this or they want you to do that. That's what it is. Like I said, I'm not important, but the job is extremely important, okay? And I've noted that fact very, very often and very pertinent. Okay.
All right. How do you feel about the team this year? I know last year was a year of a little bit of uncertainty. We didn't really have a good feeling going into spring training. You've been down here a few weeks. What do you think overall?
Well, it's too early to tell. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to wait and see, because the last 2 weeks, the last 10 days is how you make up your mind. But I will tell you about spring training. In my mind, what's important about spring training, besides watching the players and so forth and so on, is this is where the character of a team is formed, spring training, because each team has an individual character, and each player has that character. He adds to it or subtracts to it or whatever. So that's what I think is the most important part about spring training. Now, you know, these guys nowadays, you know, the umpiring, okay, and we sometimes are critical of umpires in the early going because they're really minor league umpires, and they're umpiring major league games. But, you know, that used to be okay. But now, because of the money,
sure,
okay, and a guy misses a pitch, it might cost a young man a chance to play in the big leagues. It might cost him $10 million or $20 million. Who knows how much? I can remember when Albert Pujols came down here, okay, and Tony La Russa was the manager, and he kept putting him in spots and testing him and testing him and testing him. And he answered every question.
Yeah.
And to the point where now he's not only did he answer those questions, but he's going to have to answer the questions at Cooperstown.
We just visited with Michael Gersh, the new general manager for the Cardinals, and we had these conversations about analytics and, you know, data-driven baseball. Here's where you find out what their heart looks like, right? You can look at those stats, but you talk about forming the team chemistry. I mean, you get a little know the human beings, not just the numbers on paper.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and he is an analytical guy, but he understands that as better than anyone. Michael Gersh does, in my mind, okay? And that's the fella that I went to for analytics. I had lunch with him. I said, "Hey, I need to know more about analytics." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You can call it anything you want to call it, analytics or this or that, or everything. But here's what you have to do. You have to correlate it into the business, okay? And in other words, how much comprehension does a catcher have, or how much comprehension does a base runner have? Or you have to take that into account. In other words, if you start talking to me about theories of this or that or so forth and so on, I say I might struggle with that. I don't have the capacity to understand some of the theories of this or that or so forth. Now, I know a little bit about the theories of what goes on a diamond out there, but how do you correlate with it? How much comprehension does a player have, okay? How much can he understand? How much can he absorb? That's going to be the next 50 years. It's not going to be 5 years. It's going to be 50 years to get that all together, okay?
Because you're going to go to them with analytics and say, here's what you're doing different than what you were doing, and you got to change this. That gets in a guy's head.
Well, sure, you can't be thinking, okay? What you have to do in baseball, you think before the play happens, okay? When I was in the outfield, I'd say, okay, a line drive to my left, one hop, I throw the ball to third. Two hops to my left, I throw it to second. You have to – You have to have that prepared before the ball gets to you. Same thing on any position, all right? You have to think of it beforehand. But now, the big thing with the nuances of our game is, and especially the analytics, is for the coaches and the manager, okay? Yeah, he's in that dugout, and he's getting constant information. That's you know, he has a file down there, he has a computer down there, he has all of that, and he has four or five coaches. But I had a boss when I was young, and his father and my father went to law school together, okay? Well, he didn't have any of the abilities that I had physically, okay, for the game of baseball. He later became my boss at Anheuser-Busch, all right? But it took 20 or 30 people to follow him because he had so many ideas that would pop into his head, okay? But he needed somebody to execute those ideas. He'd have 20 or 30 people following him, okay, trying to keep up with him, all right?
Is that
it's
Denny
like
Little?
Churchill.
What? Would that be Denny Little?
No, but Denny Long you're talking
about.
Oh,
Denny Long. Yeah.
Yeah, we want to call him Little. But anyway, you know, that you have to understand the personality of people that you deal with, okay?
Sure, absolutely.
And, you know, another great, all you have to do is read anything about Churchill, man. It was the same thing, but he kept it all to himself. He didn't need 20 or 30 people. He tried to, he found it very difficult to acclimate, okay? And he found it very difficult to let somebody else make the decisions. He wanted to make the decisions himself. And that's another situation that's hard to learn in life. How much do you allocate, okay? And you better learn to allocate if you have a job as big as one of those guys, and especially with the manager now, okay? He gets a war on a guy, or he gets this on a guy, on all the analytics, okay? And you can call it whatever you want to call it. And I'm sure that Michael Gersh told you that. He said, it doesn't matter what you call it. What it is, it's new information that we have available to us now. But how much does that guy in the dugout, okay, he's talking about this guy, that guy, and so forth. And then he's got 15 coaches down there to help him with that. But then he's got to have that gut feeling, okay? And it all gets back to I did an interview last week with the great the general manager of the Atlanta Braves when they had that phenomenal run, okay? And that record, like Joe Torre's record, may never be achieved in this game. It's matched. It's really going to be difficult. And I asked him about it. He said, and then my last question, I said, do we still need the scout? Oh, yeah, we need the scout because that's the guy that really tells us, okay? And we have a player here that was with he started with Atlanta. He was a catcher, okay? His name's Gaddis. And they signed him, and he got disgruntled. And he just went off. He quit, went off. And so somebody alerted me to the fact about this guy. And there was an old scout that followed him, okay? And so he got interested in the game again. So he went to this college down in Texas. I asked him, I said, which college was it? He said, I don't know. but that scout knew, and he went down, and he saw him, and he said, he talked to him, said, hey, are you interested in playing again? He said, yeah, I think I am. He got lost for a while, but he came back. But it was because of that scout, and he remembered him and stayed with him, that he went to Gaddis, and he said, hey, will you be interested in playing again? And he said, yeah. He's been in the big leagues now for about 5 years.
That's
how,
a great story.
How happy are you to see Willie McGee and Okendo back?
Very, very happy because you can already see their influence, all right? And it's on the leads that these base runners are taking. Now, if they're going to carry that over during the season, that's another thing. And I'm watching for that right now. But there's no doubt that that's been it's a very smart move on our executives bringing those two guys back for a number of reasons.
Legendary broadcaster Mike Shannon, thank you,
my
sir.
My pleasure, guys.
We appreciate
Thanks,
it. You can listen to Mike's call each and every Cardinals game right here on WSOY. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more live from Jupiter, Florida, after this.